get your input on something. I'll catch you up on a couple of things, then get your input on something. So our E9, weirdest thing. So, you know, we had two Zoom meetings with him that both went well. My other hiring partner said, yeah, hiring. He's great. And, you know, I told you about the text message where he's supposed to come down in person. I was like, oh, it's okay. We understand. Then the very next weekend, he's supposed to come the next weekend. He sent a text message on Saturday night and said, I'm so sorry. I know this is going to look terrible, but there's a group of troops that are coming in to Fort Hood. They were supposed to be here on Monday, and they moved them up to today. And so they're coming in late tonight or early Sunday morning. I've got to be here to prepare them. And, but I promise I'll 100% sure be there next Sunday along with my girlfriend, Tiffany. And I replied, I replied back and said, great, no problem. We'll see you next week. We completely understand. See you next weekend. So then that coming up weekend on Friday, I thought, well, I'll just give him a little touch base call on Friday because we haven't talked since that text message. And so I called and his phone, like there's no voicemail, it just says that his phone's not taking calls right now. So I tried calling that Friday, and then I sent him a text message later that Friday saying, because I know the text message, like, hey, we're looking forward to seeing you and meeting your girlfriend, Tiffany, on Sunday. Hope you have a great weekend. Look forward to seeing you. And that doesn't really require a text message back, but you think someone would respond. You got no response from that. Sunday morning comes and go. Sunday morning comes. He didn't show up. I call him. The phone still says, I'm sorry, his phone's not taking calls. I text message him. I call him. No response all of Sunday. Never heard from him. So on Monday, I reached out to my recruiter. The recruiter guy said, I don't know how happened to your E9, but he's MIA. He's went AWOL. I have no communication from him. He stood me up three weekends in a row, and I was planning on making him an offer, you know. And he's like, I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened. He goes, that's ridiculous. I said, you know, I at least want to meet someone before I hire him in person. And I said, I guess you're going to have to. So unless the guy's in a coma or he's dead, I don't really see any legitimate.
Or he's been shipped out to Afghanistan or something.
But even then, you can send an email to someone or.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, it's the weirdest thing. We've never seen anything like that. So he said he's going to start looking for another candidate. You know.
So nothing. You never heard from him.
See, I've yet to hear from him. Not a text message, an email, phone call, nothing. Just MIA.
That's so sad because he sounded like such a good character.
I know. It's very shocking. Very shocking. It's the weirdest thing. Even if he decided to stay in the military or take it, you'd at least seem like you would at least say like, hey, like I said, unless he's dead or in a coma, it seems like the only two legitimate excuses why there'd be no communication whatsoever. Really, it's really strange. So that's an update on that. Hadn't had any other applications. All right. So the other thing that's on mine is, I have a doctor client and he's reminding me why I shouldn't take on doctor clients because they have the problem, which is they think they know more than everybody else because they're doctors. And, so just to give you a little insight, he's 80. His wife is 65. Okay. And I have very good favor with her. I'm in Bible study with this guy. We've been Bible study for a number of years. We have a good relationship. But when we first moved the county, and the first part of his career, he was in the Air Force, and he was a pilot. And then before he got out of the Air Force, he became a doctor in the Air Force. So
cool.
He did his 20 years, and then he went into private practice, and he was an ear, nose, and throat doctor before he retired. He divorced his first wife, which he owns up to. That was a huge mistake. Divorced his first wife. And divided his net worth in half. That was like maybe 20 years ago. Yeah, about 23 years. Anyway, then he thought he'd make up for that lost time by investing aggressively. And then he timed the dot-com bust just worse. And it went down by like 50%. And then he built it back up till about before he met me. So he's been investing basically by himself since 1968 through Fidelity, right? So he first started the relationship. It was kind of like, you know, I pretty much said, look, either we're going to move it all or we're not going to work together. And he was like, this is a big decision. His wife's like, I think it's time, you know. And so he agreed to do that. And then after we put in all the ACATs or anything else, then he called back on the flight money and said, look, I'm just going to keep this one account at Fidelity. It's like 100,000. I'm just going to keep that one account. And I was like, no, that's not what we agreed upon. And because I know how that goes, right?
Right.
It was kind of like, just in case it doesn't work out, then I can transfer my stuff. And he said, well, it's not that much money and it's not a big deal. And I need, so then finally he says, look, and he did say this, look, I need to tell you this. My doctor has said that I've got some kind of whatever that eventually could turn into dementia or could cause me to have some memory issues. And so by keeping my mind active, that can help fight that. And so I like watching this. I like doing this. It's not really a big deal in the portfolio overall. And I need to do this for this reason, not for like I'm trying to compete. So for that reason, originally, this has been less than 2 years ago, I said, okay, thank you for sharing that with me. That gives me a little insight. Since that's the reason, okay. So everything's been going smoothly. We agreed that there's another like 200,000 or 300,000 in a annuity that was coming due, a fixed annuity coming due, and he was going to roll that over to me, right? So, but along the way, he would say like, hey, look, look at these funds. What do you think about these? Or maybe you can add these to the portfolio. And I'd say, okay, well, thanks, you know. Da, da. And then like sometimes he'd have a little handwritten note. They'd hand me after Bible study, or he'd kind of ambush me after Bible study and say, you know, I was looking at your portfolio and I was looking at my portfolio and I'm up like, you know, 18% year to date and you're up like 16% year to date. I'm like, yeah, but I have less risk in the portfolio. And he's like, well, I don't care so much about that. I'm, you know, da, da. So, you know, okay, well, and then his wife came into this inheritance that we've been expecting a little earlier. Well, then he wanted to keep all that money, manage that money, and not entrust that with me. And I was like, that's not what we talked about. Now you're taking on more responsibility, not less. And long story short, so he did end up, so then long story short, so he says, okay, well, now this annuity's coming due. Maybe it's only 150,000. I'm going to go ahead and give you the other 150,000 in my trust account. But when that annuity matures, I'm going to roll that into my IRA Fidelity and I'm going to manage that. And I said, I think that's a bad idea. You know, you're moving in the wrong direction. We said we're going to move in this direction. And I told you I was not for you keeping that account to start with because I was concerned this would happen. It's like I'm competing with you and we're supposed to all be on the same team. And he was just like, you know, I said, if you want to move something, just keep like 50,000, you know, it doesn't have to. He goes, no, I've already made a decision. And that's the way those doctors operate. Once they make decisions, like, you know, hell could freeze over, but it's like, nope, I made the decision. And that's what they train them to do that in medical school. Make a decision, move forward. Make a decision, move forward. Which is why it's really difficult to work with them. Anyway, long story short. So, you know, kind of we have some, okay, finder, give me some more, even though you're not giving me this, kind of averages out. So last week, and I just had a review with them. I think we just had a phone call, things were pretty well. Like he hands me an envelope when I get to Bible study. He says, this is for you after the meeting. And I'm like, oh no, this is going to go. Cause I never have all my information with him. He's got like done his homework and like, you know, so I actually did need to had a meeting at 10:30. So I actually left a little early cause that way I wouldn't have a conversation with him after Bible study and be like, look, I can't talk to this. But I opened it up and it basically said like, hey, you know, all the experts are saying this and you've got these three positions that are, long on duration and, move those out of the portfolio. And I'm like, first of all, I'm not an order taker. You know, when I read the note, it really pissed me off. And so I have a staff call and say, Preston got your letter. Thank you. And in order to take any action on that, he has to meet with you in person and your wife. And he has time available and we're fixing to go out of town. So this was last week. This was before Easter. He can either meet with you today at 5 o'clock or tomorrow at 8 a.m. Those are the only two times. If not, it'll have to be, you know, today, Monday the 25th. And he says, well, I can come, but I don't know why. No, your wife has to be present at the meeting. And so he came in and I had our model that shows like, you're the owner of the team. I'm the general manager. We run, you know, we lead and coordinate the team. And I said, I got your letter, but I'm a little confused. I'm a little confused because you sent me this note and that's not what we do. This is not a retail brokerage account. It's not a self-directed account. I don't talk with you, you know, about we're going to make these trades or those trades or, you know, this is a discretionary account and this is our model. Our model is you're the owner of the team, right? You hire us to be general manager. We lead and coordinate the team. And so the problem is you've put yourself down here with the money managers that we're leading. Delusion.